Welcome to the Boldly Business Podcast brought to you by Sage and Fin24. I'm your host, Zoe Brown. In this podcast, we chat to a range of dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they speak honestly about their journey to profit. Through the season, we talk mistakes, tips, and lessons to get you closer to the business owner you want to be. She's a minimalist at heart. Tina Beyer has a passionate zero wasting and an aspiring evolving minimalist who loves simple things in life. Her business is all about people inspiring and educating each other to make better choices, creating jobs locally and touching lives. Living sustainably results in a more meaningful life. Tina Beyer, the founder and owner of Eco Elephant, runs the online shop from home. Let's find out more about her business and how she managed to overcome the struggles in the first 2 years in her small business. Tina, welcome to the Bold Leap Business Podcast.
Thank you, Zoe, for having me.
You know what? I want to know more about Eco Elephant. Can you tell me a little bit about exactly what Eco Elephant does and why you decided to start it?
So in Eco Elephant, we make products that are reusable and which can replace plastic, and especially single-use plastic or anything that we use once off. So products that we make are bowl covers to replace these cling wraps. And we make menstrual pads. Then we make plastic-free scrubs to wash dishes. Then we also these wax wraps to put sandwiches in. And then we have these lovely snack bags to replace plastic bags. And we also import some things which cannot be made here, like safety razors, which is plastic free, and straws of all sorts, and tiffins. Yeah.
I was actually gifted some of your wax wraps. So I know exactly what your products are looking like and how amazing they are to use. What was the inspiration for you to decide, you know what, I need to find an alternative to single-use plastics?
So I'm from India, and I'm from a state called Kerala in India. So we grew up with less plastic in our lives. So I didn't even realize that I was using this much plastic after I came to Cape Town. And again, all this happens with seeing a straw at a friend's house. So we were there for a party and she showed us a straw and asked my husband if he could make a straw. So that was like, that is something that made me think, okay, I have to go and audit how much plastic I use in my life. And then I tried to look for alternatives. And at that time, there were only a few people doing these zero waste products, and it was very expensive. It was not readily available, and it was more for an elite group. So I thought I should do something about it. And, you know, as I had this background of the like a less to zero waste lifestyle, it helped me. And even my parents, they were very much into reusing stuff or taking their own containers for takeaways and things like that. So, yeah.
And also a great way to just make it accessible for everyone to live a more minimalist, waste-free lifestyle.
Yes. So, yeah, most of my products, it's like a buy once. You buy it once and then some of them you can use it for your entire lifetime and even pass it to the next generation. So it's an investment as well.
Yeah. Definitely an investment. Now, they say the first 5 years of your business is usually the hardest. Did you find that to be the case?
Well, I'm on my third year. And it is, because by the first 2 years, in the initial stage of business, you are just learning on how to do it, especially if you didn't have any business background so it's a lot of learning. And I wish I had a better business plan or started with more capital and had some emergency funds and things like that. But, you know, not everybody is able to do that. Yeah, and we just have to do it when the time is right. You just have to go for it. Otherwise, you may never start anything. Yeah.
I like that attitude. You must just go for it. What have been some of the toughest lessons you've learned in your 3 years?
I would say when you start your business and you are out there, people start noticing you, and then slowly you will start having competitors, which I wasn't very prepared of. And especially as this is a different business, it's eco-friendly, and people are more and more getting into it. So that was one of the hardest thing. Like, I didn't know how to deal with it when people started like buying my products as a prototype and make exactly the same sort of a thing. It was very difficult for me to deal with it. But then, you know, competitors, they keep you on your toes.
They and make certainly it, yeah, do.
And they make you work smart and hard.
How do you deal with the fact that people are buying your products and copying it and putting it out into the market?
So it was difficult for me to deal with it. And I really struggled, but that's something that I'm working on, how to deal with it. And also, like, I believe like other people's success is not my failure. And God is making a way for me to be the best version of myself in his own time. So I have to follow my own integrity and follow the ethical way to deal with it.
Most certainly. And you know what? Knowing what you know now, in the 3 years you said the beginning is all about learning, is there something, you know, when it comes to operating a business, which you wish you knew beforehand?
I had plans and I had ideas, but I didn't have anything in a written format. So that is something that somebody who is going to, you know, you go into a business should at least enroll for a small business course or something, so that you know what to, the risk, and there's competition that's going to come. So how to deal with all those things. So I wish I knew all those things before I started the business.
Well, now whoever's listening can take those steps,
yes,
and make sure that they are equipped if they're thinking of starting their own business. So you are definitely helping anyone listening right now.
You're listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast, brought to you by Sage for Fin24. I am your host, Zoe Brown, a home for dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they speak honestly about their journey to profit. Now, Tina, I wanted to know from you, you are a wife, you are a mom, you are a business owner, you are wearing so many different hats. How do you manage to, in fact, cope with all the time and everything that needs your attention?
That, you know, I used to sit and wonder how some women do this, but I'm not that wonder woman or a wonder is a super mom. So I just have to plan and prioritize. Yeah, that's, and I have a to-do list and I go through it, and yeah, I love ticking off things from the list, and yeah, that's how I do it. Yeah, it's as simple as planning and prioritizing.
Well, in my eyes, you're a superwoman, so keep that in mind. Now, what piece of advice would you give any aspiring business owners right now?
So I would tell you should have a very good business plan. And if you can, I would say you should go for register yourself for a small business course, and then you should look for inspiration. You just go out, look at small business owners. They might not be smarter or harder working. They like you. They are like simple people. And when opportunities knock, you should just go for it. And don't let anyone's opinion drown out your inner voice. And when you are there, or when you start your business, I would say you should be smarter, responsible, and competitive. Like simple things like answering your emails or replying to calls, which is very difficult. No, you don't get that. You don't get a response from people. Or delivering your goods and services on time. It makes such a difference.
So it's all about the small things.
It's all about the small things, yes.
I like that, Tina. And what are some of the systems that you have put in place to be on top of your financials and your staff management?
So I, you know, small business have small budgets. So you can't have a financial advisor or a HR and those kinds of things. So what I follow is I have a good financial system, like my own financial plan. So I make sure that I spend some time to dedicate some time to plan my financial budget and review and update the financial information. And also I have a good billing strategy. So, well, all the terms and conditions should be very clear. It's simple. So make it clear that I can't hold certain products for you unless you pay for it. And to expect you keep the product for 7 days. You know, I can't do that. My product is specific, or I make it in there's a specific pattern and I have limited quantity of that. So simple things like that. It's all about simple things.
Now, I know your business is entering its third year. Are you making the products yourself, or do you have people helping you?
Yes, I mostly concentrate on mothers. They have a special place in my heart. So I have single mothers and I have ladies who work from home. Then I have some grannies who knits my products. I have a good relationship with them. They know me, they get me, and I get them. I am a foreigner in this place. So I have gone through all these stages, like being a mother and sometimes feel very useless. You know, that's how people, you know, when you are unemployed, people look at you in a very different way. It's not your fault, but, you know, you're in a different country. It's very difficult to get employed. So I have gone through all these things, and I can understand. And I always ask these ladies to tell me how much they want to do certain things. And I want to make sure that I pay them decently. That's very important to me. It's like when I grow, I want them to grow as well.
And that's a beautiful outlook on life. And I can tell you now that they will have that same outlook when they'll be paying it forward too. Now, Tina, I know that you are operating from home. Eco Elephant is an online store. How did that help you, especially during the global pandemic? When the pandemic hit, everyone tried to go online, but you were already online. Did you notice a difference?
Well, there's a very interesting thing to it. You know, the pandemic made me think, I paused my website and I started thinking more about it. And it's always a thing that, you know, a customer loves to touch a product, feel it, and buy it. And also, I also felt, you know, that's something. So I ask customer, it's now at the moment, it's more like a EFT orders, or I have a physical shop that my products are there. All right. And so I direct them to go and do that. So I would say I moved from the online during this pandemic time. Yeah. But, you know, well, that's just a feeling that, you know, the person has to be sure what they buy. It's not, I don't want them to just assume something and buy. Just feel it and make sure that it's something that you need in your house or need for yourself.
Beautiful. Now, Tina, I know you are in your third year of your business, but how has your workflow changed if you look over the first 2 years of your business compared to now where you are?
So in the initial year, you don't know much about your suppliers, or you don't know where the customers come from. So by the second, third year, you have all those, you know, or there you have like three or four suppliers you can depend on, and you kind of know where your customer base is. And then, so it becomes easier, but business always have challenges and risks. And there will be, the market risk. You have to be updated on how the market is going, and so you have to change accordingly, I would say.
Always stay current.
Yes.
Well, Tina, I have to say thank you for joining us on this episode. Where can our listeners get in contact with you, reach your products? How can they reach you?
You can go to ecoelephant.co.za. That's one way you can see all my products, and then you can email me and get my products. And I'll also say, if you want to buy it from a physical store, you can go to Back Area Garden in Pinelands. So they have quite a lot of my products there. And many of the zero waste shops also stock my product, like Shop Zero, the Restore in Durbanville. Then there's one shop in Johannesburg, Refinery. So you can get from all these places. And I occasionally do markets, so you can also find me there.
So definitely keep an eye out on your social media.
Yes, of course.
And last but not least, for anyone that is interested in implementing change into their own lives, to join in on living a more minimalist or waste-free lifestyle, how would you encourage them to start?
I would say start small, and also first find out what is the amount of plastic that you use in your life. And then simple things like carrying a bag. Keep bags in your handbag. Keep like these. There's a lot of people doing bags. Get some bags, put it in your car, put it in your bag, and then take a reusable cup. Many people sell cups, and I know that many people have cups, these reusable cups in their house. They forget to take it. But again, keep some in your cars, keep someone in your bag, and use reusable cups. And the other thing is these styrofoam, takeaway containers. It's not recyclable. So you should, I would say, carry these takeaway containers, takeaway like reusable, like tiffins or plastic containers, whatever that you can reuse. That it makes such a difference. Like when we go out, we take a container, and also opt out for these forks, plastic forks and knives. Carry your cutleries, and also opt out for these salt and pepper that comes in these small packets, tomato sauce. It's all simple things that it makes such a big difference. And also for ladies, use these menstrual cup and these cloth pads. It's a life-changing thing, and it's so easy to use. So those are simple things that you can do. And all these things last forever, like 10 years. Menstrual cups last for 10 years.
So not only are you saving in the pocket, but you're also helping to save on the planet.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Tina, thank you so much for that great advice and for sharing some of your wisdom on how to overcome the first 2 years of a small business. I wish you all the best for the years to come.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you for listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast.